Well, this is Tuesday, April the 8th, 1980. Truth for Today Bible class, as usual. Last week we finished the book of Numbers. And I spoke something about getting on to Joshua, but I don't think we shall. I think we'll start on Deuteronomy and spend a little time on that tonight. Not going to take up the whole book, but see what it's about. Now, Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible. And the word Deuteronomy means second law. Deuter is second, and nomos in the Greek is law. So it's the second law. I think in the Hebrew, the title of it is the words. Now this book is divided into 10 sections, actually. There's an introduction and there's a ending and a couple of interpolations, but actually this book is made up of 10 addresses by Moses. And it's rather interesting to take those up and note their likenesses and differences. The historical part of it is covered by some of the book of Numbers, which we just finished, about the last 15 chapters. However, this book of Deuteronomy, these words that are given and so on, were in the last month of the last month. I would say the 11th month, not the last month, the 11th month of the 40th year after the leaving of Egypt. That would make it about 1452 B.C. And then when Joshua later takes over and they enter the land, it's 1451 B.C. Now, you do have an introduction to the book, and that's the first four verses in the first chapter. Let's just take a look at that and get the structure of the book a little bit first. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Topheth and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb, by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. 11 days' journey from Horeb is right near Mount Sinai unto Kadesh Barnea. In other words, Israel took 2 years to make a 11 days' journey right there to start. And they never did get into the land until 40 years was over. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, so those five, I said four verses, five verses is what it really is. And Moses starts to speak in the sixth verse. Now let's go back to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. 34, chapter 34, and 1 to 7. I gave it to you wrong. That's 9 or 8 to 12. 31 or 34, 8 to 12. Now we'll get our numbers right. And this is the conclusion. This is after the death of Moses. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, in all that mighty hand, in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Moses died when he was 120 years old. Now, the death of Moses is announced in chapter 32, 48 to 32. All right, 32:48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, which is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. Moses had asked the Lord before if he just couldn't go into it, and the Lord told Moses not to keep still. He told him he wouldn't get into it, and he wasn't going to change his mind. Moses was awfully anxious. He would like to have gotten into the land, but remember, the Lord got angry with Moses and because of his unbelief, and Moses didn't get the wind of the land. But Moses is going to get to look. Get up on a mountain, he's going to look and see the land on the other side of the Jordan. Get a pretty good view. And 50. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people. And there my brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye satisfied me not, sanctified me not, in the midst of the children of Israel. Remember, that's where he was supposed to speak to the rock. But instead of speaking to the rock, he spoke to Israel, and he smote the rock twice. And he wasn't a smiter at all. It had been smitten once time before, and that was enough. Our Lord was smitten only once. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go hither unto the land which I gave the children of Israel. Now we might as well just go on over to 34 again and take the first 7 verses, and we'll get his death accomplished. Chapter 34, 1-7. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab into the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead and the Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him, that is, Jehovah buried Moses in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Now, what day? Does that mean today, here in 1980 AD? Or at the time of the writing of the book? Evidently, somebody added this little part on here after Moses' death. Unless, and I rather think that maybe Moses did write all of this. God gave it to him to write. And Moses wrote this before his death and told about his death. I'm pretty sure that is what happened. And of course, all of these are attributed to Moses all the way through these first 5 books. Well, now, let's go back now to chapter 1. and we read the first five verses, and Moses starts to speak. Verse 6. And this is a reviewing of some of the history that we've been over before. I thought it was a good idea to organize it, because I know a lot of folks, and I used to too, get about lost back here in some of this and didn't know where I was. So Moses says, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain." Well, that's where they got the law near Mount Sinai. "Turn ye and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh unto thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Which means that they were to go through this land on the east side of the Jordan, clear up to the Euphrates River. That'd be up beyond the kingdom of Og, of Bashan. Now, we don't have a map out here tonight. But just imagine that they're to go through practically all of the land that's on the east side of the Dead Sea, excepting the portions by Ammon, the Ammonites, and the Moabites. And we find later that God tells Moses that He had assigned that land to them. They had taken it from away from the giants and so on. So He was giving it to them. "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude." That had been promised to Abraham, that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. And you know, here it is, 1980 A.D. And this was 1452, and way back to Abraham, the promise was 1900-something. And they haven't got stars all counted yet. Haven't made much progress, have they? I don't think they know much more about them than they did then. Just got some postcards the other day. I think a couple laying there on the piano. Those pictures of stars. Rather interesting, taking some of the new telescopes. Verse 11, parenthesis. "The Lord God of your fathers made you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you." Now I turned over 3 pages. Here we are. "How can I myself bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take thee wise men, and understanding, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And you answered me and said, The thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do." Now remember that Moses is speaking. "So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, Hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will bear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do." Now, do you remember who it was that suggested to Moses that he put the judges over groups of people rather than trying to do the whole thing himself? No, it wasn't Aaron. His father-in-law, Jethro, Reuel, or whatever, Raguel, whatever you want to call him. He got three names. Now, he came to visit him, you see, after they'd gotten over there in the land and brought his wife and children to him. You see, Moses had been separated from them during the Exodus. And when Jethro saw all of this mess that Moses was in, all of this, 3 million people, and him having to settle all the quarrels and family squabbles, you know, that would be a job. And so he suggested he divide them up into companies of hundreds and fifties and so on, hands, and put judges over them, and he'd take care of the major disputes. And so that was what was done. My mother here is reviewing that. All right, now verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by which way we must go up, into what cities we shall come. Now there was a mistake. No question about it. The people suggested to go and spy out the land. They should have had faith in going right in and taking it under the Lord's command. And Moses says, and the saying pleased me well. I think he made a mistake there, maybe too. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Nakoms there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you, to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, and to show you by what way ye should go, in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, for he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Verse 37, an eighth parenthesis. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. Well, Moses didn't get to go either. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Going on now to verse 39. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Remember, they had murmured against the Lord and said that the Lord is taking them out in the wilderness and their little ones die and not be buried out there in the wilderness. Well, if the people, the fathers who were unbelieving, the ones that died in the wilderness, and the children got to go into the land. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, saying to them, Go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. Now you see, this is a resume of what we've already learned in Genesis and Exodus and Numbers. I'm not stopping to make very much comment on these. I hope the reading will be plain enough that you can follow. Chapter 2. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. Now, Mount Seir, of course, is where the Edomites lived. And they were the children of Esau. And so they went around their place because they wouldn't let them go through. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Been going around and around circles long enough. Turn ye northward. And command thou the people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? Meddle. Don't have anything to do with them. For I will not give you their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. I might put a little interpolation here. I think most of the folks who listen are understanding that Esau is considered the father of the Islam, or that is Mohammedans. They claim that he was actually the firstborn. Well, he was, but he wasn't counted as the firstborn. He sold his birthright and lost his blessing. But they count Esau as their father, going back to, through him to Abraham, of course. So they claim Abraham as their father, Isaac, and then Esau. And, of course, there's a report they have a temple over there that Esau and his son built and all of that sort of thing. It's a rather interesting story about Edom. I believe, if I remember right, 2 or 3 months ago, there was something about that in the National Geographic magazine. I think that's where I was doing some reading lately. Of course, I have a lot of other material on it, as well as having their Bible, the book of the Quran. Verse 6, ye shall buy meat of them, that is, of Edom, for money, that ye may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, through the way of the plain from Eloth and from Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, Distress not the Moabites. Now this is another people, Moabites. Remember that the Moabites and Ammonites are children of Lot. And remember that Ruth was a Moabitess. He says, For I will not give thee or their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The Ammons dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as in Anakims, which also were accounted giants as in Anakims, but the Moabites called them Ammons. The Horams also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did into the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, said I, and get ye over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea unto where come over the brook Zered was 38 years. when we read the last time of the long list of places where they encamped. And so there was about 8 years from Kadesh Barnea until they went over Zered and started going north to finally make some of their conquests. Let's see. I was reading verse 14. The space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. Until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, or that is, died, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given them the children of Lot for a possession. So Moab and Ammon, they're not to bother them, or to take any of their land, or do anything with them. They had that as a possession. Verse 20. That also was accounted the land of giants. Giants dwelt there in an old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumans. That's quite a name. A people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, as he did the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horons before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, even unto this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Aza, the Captorums, which came forth out of Castor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. End of the parenthesis. Verse 24. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Now the river Arnon we have looked at on the map, and it's a dividing line between I'm not too sure. Moab, I think, is one of the places. I know where it is along the line there, but it's between Ammon and Moab. I have given thee the land of Sihon into thine hand, Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Sihon was south down there, almost across from Jericho. And we read again later on about Bashan and King Og, and that's on north of there, as we said a while ago, clear up the Euphrates River. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble, and being anguished because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedamoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along with the highway. I will neither turn to the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. 29, parenthesis, as the children of Esau which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan in the land which the Lord our God giveth us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit, and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men, and the women, and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Now this is different from our story of the Midianites, a while back when they had battle with them. They saved all the little girls. But all the males and all of the women were killed. But here they don't leave any, because these are the false seed. The Midianites weren't. They were descendants of Abraham, but they were about as bad as some of the false seed. 35. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. That is, whatever precious metals and tools and anything that was any value they took. From Aror, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor into any place of the river Jabbok. The ford on Jabbok is where, I believe it, Jacob had a little wrestling match one night. Nor into the cities in the mountains, nor into whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. Chapter 3. This is interesting history of that. Moses is telling the people, or reviewing it. I suppose they should have known it. Maybe they didn't know the history, though, too well. People have a tendency to forget. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. Now they're really getting into enemy country. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, Fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og, also the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we smote him till none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. 60 cities, that's 60. All the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. That is one of the mightiest kingdoms around there at that time. All these cities were fenced with high walls. There's the word fenced used in the old English way. They were guarded, fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, and beside them wall towns a great many. So there were a number of villages and so on which they took too. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city, with all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of Amorites, the land was on this side of Jordan, that is on the east side, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon. And Hermon is away up there. And which Hermon the Sidonians call Syrian, and the Amorites call it Shenir. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead. Gilead, remember that. Balm of Gilead. And all Bashan until Salcah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. A parenthesis again. Rather interesting. Verse 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. That is, in that part of the land now. Remember, if we had after this, during the time of the judges, we had some giants down around Gaza in the Philistine territory down near the Mediterranean Sea. But that's not up in this land of the giants here on the other side of the Jordan. Now behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Reboth of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. And we think a king-sized bed, you know, are a modern invention. Now, how big that is, I don't know. If a cubit was just 18 inches, well, then that would be about 13 and a half feet long. If a cubit is 26 inches, well, that would be over 24 feet long. And 4 cubits wide would be about 6 feet wide or more. And probably it was not iron. It was probably basalt. Now, they had a sort of a raised platform made of stone for a bed, and on that they would throw skins and whatnot and so on to make them a bed so they'd be comfortable to sleep on. And that could all be taken off during the daytime or rolled up. Now, I have a very interesting book up here on the shelf back of me on the giant cities of Bashan. Following Emma Porter. Made a trip in there about 1888, that's almost 100 years ago, and explored all of that land. and not only on that side, but he even went down and down to Gaza and all the different places in the history of Israel. And the nice thing I like about the book is that he had his Bible in his hand, and wherever he went, he'd open up the Bible to references to those places and read it. And in his book, he quotes much of that, or gives references at least, but much of it quoted. And so it gives you a pretty good picture of that. But the book is old, but it's interesting. And of course, back in those days, it was dangerous travel. He had to make friends with some of the chieftains of the tribes and rent horses and went on horseback. It's the only way they had to go, or hoof it, as we say. And of course, that wasn't too practical. So they rode on horseback a great deal of the time. And so he spent quite a bit of time, some months, in exploring all of that land. But he tells us about the houses up there in Bashan. They're made out of that black basalt, and the walls of them may be blocks of rock, hewn out in rectangular form, up to 2-3 feet thick. And the houses are big, and the hinges were made by cutting pins and sockets, pins on the door and sockets in the, where it fit in. And those worked so nicely, it said you could just practically open and shut those doors yet when he was there with one finger. Of course, they'd never been occupied because the Arabs just will not live in houses. They did use them sometimes for a sheepfold or something like that to put some of their sheep in or some other stalk, but outside of that, they were just like they'd been left when they'd been left back many, many centuries before. Well, it's an interesting book. If you happen to get a hold of it in the library somewhere, why, read it. You won't find it, I don't think, in any bookstores or anything, because I think it's been out of print for many years. I happened to get a hold of one a number of years ago. Well, now we've got down to verse 12 here. I'll have to watch his clock here. His time goes faster than I think. And this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites, that is, the tribes of Reuben and Gad. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which is called the land of giants. So there's two tribes and a half got land then on the other side of Jordan, that is, on the east side of Jordan. And they took that first before they went across. And this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, I'm repeating myself. 14. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coast of Geshuri and Machathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havoth Jair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Maker, and unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also on the Jordan and the coast thereof, from Chinnereth even unto the Sea of the Plain, even the Salt Sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah eastward. Now, if you have a map, you can follow some of these. That is, they're not all on the map, but several of them are. You can pretty well get the outlines. I wouldn't know what atlas to recommend. I have one here, but I'm not satisfied with it at all. I've had it several years, and the maps are just not accurate, I know. And I have a set of maps here, too, in a big envelope, and they aren't much better. Maybe worse. Some Bibles have some fair maps in the back of them, but they're so fine and so small, you have to use a reading glass to get anything out of them. Some of those maps are pretty good in some of the old Bibles, both the Oxford and the Cambridge Bibles especially, and others. All right, we go on here, verse 18. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God hath given you all this land to possess. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you, until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall you return every man to his possession which I have given you. Now, we reviewed that just the last couple of weeks, where they had said that they would be willing to go and help their brothers get all of the land on the west side of the Jordan and return to their land which they had conquered. Verse 21, and I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. He shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land of beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain, and Lebanon. Now Moses is begging you to go across and see it. The Lord is wroth for me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and hold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. Well, we're getting toward the end of the journey. We've been a long time of getting these folks out of Egypt and through the wilderness and giving them the law and all of these things. Now, as we say, Deuteronomy here is the second law, and you will find the Ten Commandments repeated in it. And then, in general, the other laws and ordinances summed up. But we won't go into all of those. I've just been looking for mostly for the historical side of it. I think I have something. Maybe it's farther on. I guess it is. I had something like. We do over in chapter 5, though, have the Ten Commandments given again. I do want you to notice this. We'll hit it probably again, but over in chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, that is, Jehovah, our Elohim, plural, is, singular, one Lord. This is pretty hard for these folks who don't believe in a Trinity or anything like that. And here we have the word Elohim, plural, and the verb singular with it. Well, we will end this session and get ready to go on. All right, now we're getting ready to go on into our second part of our session tonight. I want to take up two or three little subjects tonight, short ones. One of them is one that I dug into many years ago, just a little title. It's Peter's Prejudices. Now, this, of course, is the language of some of our modernist unbelievers in the big cemeteries and so on.